Hi, and welcome to the Salon Owners Collective Grow Beyond Owner Operator. I'm really excited to bring you today's episode because I'm interviewing a really good friend of mine, a long-term friend and colleague. She's a very smart businesswoman who saw a developing change in the way that salons needed to be run with the new millennial staff coming through. And she charged ahead of that change with her new salon concept, Main Salon. So it's a really interesting interview. I'm really pleased to bring it to you. She's got some great insights into running business. And so I know you're going to enjoy this episode.
You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa Mackelman.
I'm really excited to have Janine Simons on the show today from Main Salon here in Wellington. Thanks for joining me, Janine.
Hi, Larissa. It's great to be here.
Now, Janine, you and I have a bit of background together. We first met each other, I don't know how many years ago, well over 10, when we had salons opposite each other and we're here in Wellington.
Yes, absolutely. I would say it is easily well over 10 years ago that we were on that journey together.
And we used to come over sometimes, we'd run out of hot water, and we used to come over and bring our clients, and vice versa, I think, with bring our clients and share basins, cups of sugar.
Exactly. Can I borrow this? Can you lend that?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a good time.
It was a good time. And we've subsequently gone on to build a hair share app together, but that's not the purpose or the reason that you're on this particular show. I really want to shine light on something that you do exceptionally well, and that's working on your business and not in your business. So I want to focus our show today about that, but why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about your hairdresser to business owner and your recent business, Main Salon. Tell us that story.
Yeah. So it's a pleasure to be here today to share that journey, actually, because like you, I know that so many salon owners or hairdressers out there kind of want to reach that place in their business and their working career. So, yes, my journey. So my journey started, I obviously completed a hairdressing apprenticeship. And then at the age of 24, I bought the salon that I had done my apprenticeship in. It was probably quite possibly a good thing I didn't know what I didn't know embarking on that journey back then. Golly, was a big step from hairdressing apprentice to newly qualified hairdresser to business owner. It all happened quite quickly. However, in hindsight, a very good thing for me. So the first 2 to 3 years, I worked really, really hard on the floor with a full-on clientele. So we're talking fully booked like most good senior stylists are these days. And many of them actually are still with my salon today, which is a great thing. And I was also alongside of that, oh, sorry, I'm talking on top of you, running a team and a salon as well. And that was all really new to me. So I did about, after about 3 years of sort of running my clientele and getting my head around, I'm a business owner now, what that actually looks like and what that means, I actually attended a leadership and management course. It was through L'Oreal at the time, and that really opened my eyes and bred a new passion in me for the business rather than being the hairdresser. Doing that course gave me the tools and the strategies and also the strength to pass on my clientele and work on my business, not in it. It's a big step, taking that step away from your clientele and passing them over. There's lots of fears and anxieties that go along with that, but it was a good thing for me to do. To grow, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So I had my first salon and partnership, I had it for 10 years, and we grew that salon from a team of 4 to a team of 25 plus. And our clientele was very corporate CBD. So after 10 years, I sold the business and I went on to freelance and business mentor throughout New Zealand. And that was really good for my personal development. I very much grew outside of my bubble. When I was in my, so my salon was called Balayage. And when I was in that land, I was very much in Balayage land. I sort of had networks within that, my clientele, my team, and I wasn't really aware of the greater industry and the opportunities and challenges within it. So going out freelancing and business mentoring opened up my eyes to a lot of that. And one of the gaps that I saw was the gap in the market for a Gen Y-based salon, both clientele and hairdressers. There was a real fear and stigma attached to engaging and recruiting Generation Y. So yes, thus I created Maine. That's how Maine was created. I wanted to provide a place that gave training and career opportunities to young hairdressers and an environment for a Gen Y based clientele. Kind of like the top strop of hairdressing, like affordable high fashion is where we pitch Maine. Yeah, so that's my journey today. Yeah.
And how long ago was that now?
So we're coming up to 5 years, actually. We'll be 5 years old in February. Man, that time has gone so fast.
Now, you started that. Absolutely. You started that with a really clear vision, though, for who you wanted to be in that business.
Absolutely. Yes. So my journey at Balayage was one of apprentice to hairdresser to working owner-operator on the floor to coming away from being on the floor and running the business. And when I set up Maine Salon, I specifically set it up to focus on my team in the salon and not have a clientele. So I started out like that.
And you've managed to not be involved in the operation, the daily operations of the business pretty much throughout the whole 5 years, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Fundamentally, I have. I mean, there's often been things that have happened, like life, as life is, it changes and spivots, and there's been a few things like staff going on maternity leave or some of my team members going on long holidays or whatever where I've needed to maybe step in a little bit more. But yeah, I've managed to kind of grow the team and have an awesome team that can kind of manage the daily operations with good systems and structure in there. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with how it's all gone. It's going well.
And so how many hours a week do you spend in the business?
So on average, probably in it, maybe 7 to 8, actually physically being in the salon. And during that time when I'm in there, I'm often still working on it rather than in it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So that's probably a good next question is, what is it that you work on versus in? Because tell us a little bit about your business structure, like the team structure.
Okay, so my team structure, so we're a smallish team. Well, in my compared to my previous salon, which was a big team, we are 7 to 10 of us now. I say 7 to 10 because I have a couple of late night sort of Saturday assistants that come in and sort of do tea and tidy kind of thing. And so my main role is to make sure that the team are all happy, achieving what they want to achieve. I work with I'm a salon manager, so I work with her to ensure that that's happening for them. She liaises directly with them and I pretty much liaise directly with her. I do have one-on-ones with each team member, and of late it has been once a week, but in the new year I'm pushing that to once every 6 weeks with me and weekly with my salon manager. So I'm excited about that new step, actually.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Mm.
Yeah, so even in my current position now where I am very much hands-off, I'm still looking for ways to be even more hands-off.
Now, at the time that we record this, we're in the lead-up to Christmas. So tell me a little bit about how you feel about being hands-off at Christmas time.
Oh, I know. It's crazy weird, actually. I mean, it's exciting. It's great. I've got 2 children, so they're on holiday already, and it's been fantastic to be able to have time with them and be a bit more relaxed, actually, going into the Christmas New Year festivities. I mean, previously it's just crazy. You're in there working long hours and you know, my team are still doing that and I'm looking after them as best I can, and I appreciate every hour that they're spending in there. It's what it is for the hairdressing world. However, at my stage and phase of my career, I'm quite pleased to be able to spend the time with my kids. And yeah, as we were saying earlier, it's one of the reasons you get into business, right?
Yeah. Was that the driver initially to be not going back on the floor? Was it a driver of time? What was the motivation? What was the driver for you to set up a business model that way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Work-life balance. So being able to balance work a little bit more with my family life, most definitely. Also, though, I learned from being in my first salon, when I came off the floor and was no longer running a clientele and my team became my clientele, my business productivity, profit, everything increased tenfold. So, yeah, I was very clear that I had previously learned, and I knew with this new salon that the more I invested in my team and on the business, the more I'd get back from it, both in time and money, you know.
Yeah, I actually really resonate with that. And I know you're going to give us some business tips shortly, but I know for myself, every time I came off the floor kind of one day at a time. I would drop a day, you know, for a while, and then I'd drop another day. And every time I came off the floor another day, my income would grow. It would take a step up, you know, quite obviously. I could kind of connect it to that. I suppose it's the time and effort that you put into other things, like growing a clientele for your staff or recruiting or keeping them happy. So I definitely agree with you that the two things are related.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, hands down, there is, yeah, for me, or like you, there's no question on that, you know. And, you know, I actually remember one time when I was in my first salon looking around, and I had some great senior stylists, baby ones, young ones, but all of us that had been hairdressing for years were, you know, holding on to our clientele, and they weren't getting the opportunity to grow, you know, and I didn't have the time to really focus on helping them grow. So, yeah, it's definitely a great way to go.
So I think now is a great time for you to share some of your experience, and what are the top tips that you think that, you know, if somebody's wanting to transition from owner operator and move into more of the business space, what's your best advice?
Okay, cool. So that's like a big loaded question, but a good one. I've got lots to share there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you could
probably just talk. There's so many things we could talk about. However,
too, right, is you know, how do you choose which one to focus on first? And herein lies the challenge. So give us your top three.
Okay, cool. So my first one, first and foremost, would have to be the salon team. You know, celebrate and enjoy your salon team, and grow, engage, and nurture it. I think I see and hear. You know, it's hard. It is hard running a salon team, but the more you put into them, the more you'll get back. And I think we need to nurture, grow, and engage the way that they are, particularly with the younger stylists, rather than trying to sort of bang a square peg into a round hole. It's sort of about meeting the needs and demands of the way the working world is now. It's changed so dramatically. And I do think, if I can use the analogy, our hairdressing industry is a little bit like, a little bit symptomatic of child abuse, if that makes sense. That sounds a terrible thing to say, but what I mean by that is there's often that's the way it was for me, so you have to do your time too, or I had to do X, Y, and Z, and that's how it should be for you too. In the working world, the working environment and the needs of people within it have changed so dramatically in the last 10 years. And I think we just need to break the cycle, just like anything else that has a symptom around it, you know?
For sure.
So that's one of the things that I think with running a team, just being innovative and accommodating with your team. They'll take you to new levels. If you, once your team become your clientele, that's just changing your mindset from having to be a full-on hairdresser with a clientele to actually, I'm a full-on salon owner and my team are my clientele. the way that they'll look after you and your business and your salon, and the things that they'll introduce to you and help you grow and nurture and build in the business world, it's amazing. So the team, on those respects, the team would be my first top tip.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. Do you have, what's an example that, I really love that, you know, your team is your clientele and meeting them where they're at. Now, you specifically have a Gen Y, you went out to recruit the Gen Y. So what's one thing that they've taught you that's sort of changed the way that you look at things? Putting you on the spot now.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. No, I'm good with that question because there's many, like I can give you many examples. Probably one of my biggest, strongest ones. So often people will, in our industry, I've seen many times people placed into positions of management or training because they've been there the longest or they've got the most experienced or they're the oldest member of the team. However, with my young team, they're all pretty much the majority of them around 24 to 26. Because yes, I did actively seek and recruit a Gen Y based team. So my salon manager, she's currently 24, but she's been managing that salon for 2 years, and she is absolutely amazing. And in many salons, there just wouldn't have been that opportunity, and she would have probably been held back, or I don't know, possibly left the industry. Don't know. There's many ways that could have gone. However, in embracing the strength that is her, she's flourishing and growing, and my salon is flourishing and growing. So, yeah.
So what you're kind of saying is, and I have a little bit of insight to who these people are, of course, but you have allowed her to be who she is and grow herself and put her own flavor on the team and the business. It's not your way or the highway. You've let her be her and grow and flourish. That's kind of what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. She runs that salon like she owns it, which is amazing. You know, in alignment with our core values and vision and all of that sort of stuff we've developed and created together. And then she's just sort of taken it and run with it. And I guess the other thing I see quite a bit in salons too is people are given the title but not the role. So for me, it was like, here's the title, take the role and let's see where it goes. And they absolutely embrace that way of working, Generation Y and then their age group. So you just got to trust, you know, that you've got the right people and they can really do it for you.
And you also had the foresight, though, to see something special in her. I mean, she's a special girl, right?
Absolutely.
You've nurtured and grown that and trusted her with that.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Yes. Number one, team. Celebrate it. Grow, engage, and nurture. So what's your tip number two?
Tip number two would be with your team is to share your vision and business goals very openly and very honestly. As long as with everyone being on the same page, everyone on the ship's going in the same direction. So, you know, the thing that happens with most businesses and definitely in our industry is it can change due to economic reasons, team dynamics, new innovations or things that you think, oh, we could add that in or take that out. So I think it's being open to having those changes within your business and trying to keep up to date with all of that and keeping your team on the same page so that they know, actually, we were going here. However, there's this new way or new thing or new, or you know, like the economy's changed, for example, and you have to make changes. So it's about kind of keeping your team on the same page as that while staying true to your core values and vision of your business.
Yeah.
Because it's hard sometimes.
Is that supported by the fact that they're part of creating that vision? You mentioned before about them being part of the evolution of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're part of the evolution of that because we're all creating it together rather than, as you said before, my way or the highway. Not like that at all. It's very much, I take quite a holistic approach to growing the salon and the team, happy life, happy in the salon type thing. It's really important to me that they're all achieving what they want to achieve individually, because it's different for each stylist.
For sure.
Yeah, so it's good to just help them all achieve their own career success, however that looks to them within our, under our main umbrella.
Yeah.
And because of that, they all have different journeys, different things can come up. We might have decided to, as a team, head down one road for the next 6 months, but something might pop in there to the side. And it's just making sure that everyone in the team is actively and openly understands what's happening there, you know?
So when you say active and open, tell me a little bit about your communication in the salon. Yeah, what's your communication delivery method? And because I know that's strong for you in your culture, and it is one that I come across. People have resistance to meetings or communal, how to communicate, you know, especially if everyone's got a fully booked column or they're busy. How do you communicate and keep that vision alive, I guess? Just tell us some ways that you do communication in the business.
Yeah, sure thing. So, yeah, that's probably that in a nutshell, like sharing your vision and keeping business goals open through communication. So yeah, we have many channels and strategies for communication. So one thing we do every week is have a team meeting, and that's for an hour. And often in those team meetings, it's about building the culture, team cohesion, sharing goals, visions and alignments and those sort of things. And then we have a one-on-one. Every team member has a one-on-one each week. And in the one-on-one, we discuss their own personal journey within our under our main umbrella, their KPIs. So everyone's got pretty strong KPIs. They all know whether they're in a red, green, or orange state of their dashboard. That's how we measure it.
Yeah.
And then we also have a huddle every morning. So 15 minutes before our first client walks through the door, we do a quick huddle. We celebrate, you know, anything great that's been happening. We look at the day ahead, what are the challenges, and go through our KPIs and that sort of thing just quickly in that 15-minute huddle. It gets everybody on the same page for the day ahead. Mm-hmm. We can also establish if anyone's not feeling 100 or isn't quite, you know, up to speed today, and that just gives us the opportunity to check in with them as well and help them through a day if it's a little bit tougher for them.
Yeah,
because we all have moments like that. And then especially we also have our, what's that?
Especially when you're between 20 and 24.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We actually start our meeting, our huddle in the morning with what we call what's on top or at the door. And that's an opportunity for everybody to just say, oh, I'm feeling a bit stressful. I was stuck in traffic, and it's voiced. No one indulges the conversation. It's just out there. We all know it's happened, and then we move on, and it's left at the door. So it's quite a good thing to do first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things in our huddle. We also have a Facebook page that is just for we call ourselves the Maniacs. So just for Team Main, and we put all sorts and everything in there from, you know, what's coming up to what's going on, some funny thoughts, minutes of our team meetings, anything and everything that you need to know, you'll find in our Maniac page when you're in Team Main. For example, we're doing themed dress days over the last 2 weeks, and it's pattern on pattern today. So a reminder was chucked in there yesterday. Don't forget pattern on pattern tomorrow, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The theme days have been really good fun. Actually, I recommend them going into the crazy festive season because it starts the day off. We haven't done them every day. We've done sort of probably maybe 6 or 7 over the last 2 weeks, those 2 crazy weeks leading into Christmas. But it adds a fantastic energy to the team and the clients for those days, you know, when you're starting to get a bit tired. And yeah, so it's good. It's been good.
Okay, so that's a lot of communication channels, so there's no sort of reason for not knowing what's going on or being on top of things. I think that's really, really awesome.
The communication is key, absolutely. I was just having a conversation with my salon manager about that today, actually, because we're looking to recruit, and communication is one of the key and core things we look for when we're recruiting. So, that's number two. So number three. So number three is I actively encourage every single salon owner out there to embrace technology and social media platforms. Mm-hmm. It's a useful tool, not a dreaded scary monster.
Absolutely. Amen to that. Yeah. We're a little bit biased, I have to say, you and I, but yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I do know, though, just, you know, speaking to different people, a lot of people just are a bit scared of it, or, no, yeah, it terrifies them a wee bit, I suppose. But I think, yeah, it's not as big as it can be perceived to be. And it's new to everybody. Social media is new to everybody, really. We're all just trying it out and figuring out what works, and, you know, so I do encourage people to just get amongst it. The marketing side of online is huge for any salon business.
Yeah. Yeah.
As you well know, you're well and truly into that space now. But, you know, we're coming up to 5 years old and we're starting to spill out of the sides of our little salon. And a lot of that is just having built our brand presence and all of the salon marketing online with our target market has been amazing.
So that was a really strong emphasis, or a really, you know, you decided to be really strong in that space right from the get-go?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Having made the decision to aim at a Gen Y target market, they're quite high-profile prep people. They, you know, the first place they'll go is, well, the first place many people go now is online to check you out. Yeah. Very important that you're putting across the right message and presence and brand persona to attract the right people into your salon.
For sure.
Yeah.
So do you want to share with us any of your, you've done many, many awesome, amazing things over the years, and some of the cool stuff that you do has popped up many a time in my things that I've talked about and giving examples of good ways to do things. So do you want to, is there anything that comes to mind that have been really successful for you or standouts for you?
In an online presence or just?
Yeah, in an online or social way in terms of building your business, you know, over the last 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yes, there's many. Yes, definitely. So we, probably one of the biggest strategies that worked really well for us in the early days online was taking what we were doing in-house and putting it online. For example, client referral cards. We ran a campaign where we put our client referral card onto Facebook with a just share the love with a friend, and they'll get a voucher, which is essentially the same as giving them a referral card in the salon. That went crazy nuts. And it was such a good campaign for gaining new clients.
So I want to hone on to something really, really important that you just said, and I think you've captured it really, really well, is taking the old way of doing things but putting them online. And I think that's such a good way to simplify it, because, you know, you talked earlier about, you know, people feeling scared and it feeling like it's a big beast, and how do I get in amongst it? But actually, it's not a different thing. It's just a different way of, you know, instead of printing a card, you're just putting it online, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a different place. It's a different place, look and feel. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And so there might be a slight tweak to it, but it's essentially the same type of stuff presented in a new modern way. Have I explained it right?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And there's so many great tools and techniques and things out there to help you, you know, make it look good and shiny and fabulous. So, that's exactly what.
Some of those early strategies that, you know, if you've had your salon for a while, early strategies, they still work. They just repackaged in a shiny whiz-bang way, digital way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like the refer a friend voucher. And the thing with, you know, handing them out to a client, a new client, or every client as they come in the door, you can only do that every so often. So yeah, the amount of the volume of getting them out there was relatively small. Putting it on Facebook, it's going out to hundreds of thousands of people within your area. And the success rate with social media marketing is infinitely larger than, say, print and post was, you know, back in the day.
And infinitely cheaper.
Oh, yes, and that too.
And more specifically.
And more specifically targeted, yeah. Again, just such a beast of a topic that could be discussed in depth, you know.
I know. But would it be fair to say that you launched your business using social media to grow to now a fully booked business?
Yes, absolutely. That was one of the key strategies to build the clientele for sure. And even with regard to recruitment, actually, of team members, you know, they've come through having seen us on Facebook or recommended by other people via Facebook, that sort of thing. So, social media has been an integral player in building Main Cell on, yes.
So we need to kind of work towards wrapping up, but I do want to just pluck out one little really thing that I know people's ears are going to prick up on is using social media as a recruitment tool. Do you want to just sort of speak to one, you know, like what do you have in the back of your mind when you're creating a social media strategy that's helped you in that recruitment space?
Okay, yeah, sure. So when I recruit, well, I look to a few different places when I'm recruiting. I still will use the Trade Me and the Seek sites. And also the Hyto site is brilliant when you're recruiting for apprentice level stylists.
So Hyto is the local or the national training body, isn't it?
The industry training organisation of New Zealand. Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So I look to I play adverts on those, and then mm-hmm. I always link them to my website where they can check out our team. And a little bit about us and that sort of thing. So it's rather than just having a static ad with a bit of verbal and maybe an image, they can actually now click right through to seeing the salon, who's in it, what it looks like, what we're about. And then on our socials, like on Instagram and Facebook are our two main ones that we use, I'll often run a wee sponsored ad saying I'm looking for a salon assistant or an apprentice, and we get lots and lots of applications through that sort of thing too, especially for salon assistants. Yeah, and again, free, cheap, easy, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, brilliant.
You do have a good mix of team culture and the personalities and you know, letting your brand be seen and the people in your brand, you know, they're visible. So people can see, you know, what it's like to be part of your brand, which I think helps in that space. Would that be fair?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, absolutely. So always trying to profile the team and what they're up to behind the scenes and in the salon, as well as their work and what Main Salon's up to as a complete salon. So, yeah, we do put out there pretty much this is who we are and this is what we do, and you know, this is what it would look like if you were here. So when people are applying for roles with us, often when I'm interviewing them face-to-face or some of my managers interviewing them, they will say, oh, yeah, I've seen on Instagram that you do this, or I've seen on Facebook that you do that. I think that's a great thing, because they're walking through my door already knowing I think I could fit in here, you know.
Yes. Yeah,
because recruitment, on a side note, that it's as much about them recruiting us as it is vice versa these days.
Yeah. Okay, so we've had three amazing tips, how to build a team and celebrating your team, growing, engaging and nurturing, sharing the vision of the business openly and honestly, but communication's a huge part of that, and then actively encouraging your business to be social media and technology. You know, after all, we are in the age of technology, so making sure you're ahead of that. So I think that's been hugely, hugely helpful. So what about, do you have a quote or a mantra or something that is your go-to that keeps you going as an entrepreneur or as a business owner? What is your key go-to mantra?
Yes, I sure do. It's actually a key go-to. It's a bit of a life mantra, but it does flow through into my business, entrepreneur, team, salon life. And it is desiderata. Many people have probably heard of it. It means Latin for desired things, and it's a prose poem by Max Ehrman. And it's just lovely. Like all the words in it are a great way to live your life by, run your business by. the last line in it is strive to be happy, and that's one of the key things that resonates throughout our salon. It is all about, you just need to be, you know, have to be happy, you know, to have a great life, happiness is key. And that comes right back to, if people aren't 100% happy in our salon culture, in our salon environment, we'll try and help them find a role within it or a place somewhere else in the world where they are. You know, life is just too short to not be happy. So that's my key mantra.
I love that. That's so eloquent. They either find a role in the business or another place, you know, a place that better suits them in the world. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Politely move them on.
Yeah, absolutely. You politely move them. Well, not everybody fits, and they know it, and we know it, you know. And so rather than, I always like to, rather than having people quit or leave on not great terms, I'd so much rather help them find their next journey or their next place to be. You know, it's not that hard to do. And in the meantime, they just, they're happy while they stay with us while they do that, because we're helping them.
Yeah.
So it's a win. It's a win-win. Yeah.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
So we might get that quote from Max Ehrman, and we'll pop it in on the podcast notes so we can see it, and maybe we'll share it a bit on the socials.
Yes, actually, I was thinking about that when I was thinking about this errata today. I should be putting that on my social media. It's such a great thing for everyone to read.
Absolutely.
Most days of the week. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll grab it off you and we can share it.
Yes. Sure thing. Yep.
All right. So tell me, what book, webinar, podcast should salon owners be listening to or learning from, and why?
Oh, okay. I could give you a lot there.
You have to pick one. Are we mean?
I could only pick one. Only one.
So mean.
You're mean. Well, can I share three books?
Oh, yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, three books. So one would be Fierce Conversations, and that's by a woman called Susan Scott. Fierce Conversations are sort of principle-based, and it is just around having the conversations that matter. Don't shy away from them, have them, ways to do that, the best ways to draw out good conversations from people, great listening skills. Very good book for any leader or hairdresser, I feel.
Cool.
And then two of my great business reads have been by Seth Godin. You've probably heard of him. Many people have heard of him. So two books that I like of his were My Purple Cow, which is very marketing-based,
yep.
And then Tribes, which is quite leadership, management, growing a team, growing a tribe around you. So they're excellent reads for salon owners and entrepreneurs.
Fantastic.
And then for the Alan Austin Smith series, I think for your team and baby managers and even salon owners, they're such a great series. They give you kind of practical industry strategies along with good advice and tools and ways to implement things. So I think particularly if you're starting out or if you're wanting to help your stylist see a bigger vision, they're great little reads for anyone in your team.
Fantastic. Okay, I'll make sure I pop those links up on the podcast notes also. So, look,
yeah,
thank you so much for sharing your wealth of knowledge. I knew you were going to come out with some awesome stuff, hence why I wanted to have you on the show. So I really appreciate your time, especially at this time of year. But, of course, you're a little bit more free these days, so I don't feel quite.
Yes, that's right. You'd ask me 7 or 8 years ago, I'd be like, oh no, we have to do it.
No, absolutely. So look, I know people are going to want to stalk you and stalk your salon, so where can people find you? Tell us your dub.
Okay, so they can find me www.mainsalon.co.nz.
Mm-hmm.
Or our Instagram is main_salon.
Yep, and what about you as a person?
And then they can find me at Hairbiz, HAIRBIZ, 1010.
Fantastic.
It's a new page I've just created, so stalk me, follow me.
Absolutely.
Plugging going on now.
Plugging aloud. Yeah. All right, well, thank you so much, and I really appreciate your time.
Hey, a pleasure. Thanks for having me, and happy to share any time. So, yeah, all good.
Bye.
Cool. Thanks, Larissa. See you.
Bye. So there you have it. I knew Janine would have some real gold for those of you that want to work more on your business, not in your business. So great. Thanks for tuning in. It's been great to have you. Now, at the time that this podcast comes out, it's January 2017. And if you're looking to grow your business and work more on it and not in it and help grow those younger stylists and build them up so they can be the next up-and-coming stylist, then I encourage you to come and check out my 3 salon secrets to help you turn likes into real bookings in your salon. Now, I've put together 3 5-minute video lessons to help you, and I've shared those 3 secrets. It's I'll be sending you 3 free video trainings to help you grow your salon and work towards becoming fully booked. And become fully booked for your staff and not for you, as that is the theme of the day. So head to www.salonownerscollective.com and have a look for that, those 3 salon secrets video trainings. And I will see you then. Thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.